Back on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom. Modern life would be impossible without chemicals, yet many chemicals are dangerous. The EPA has a long-standing program for evaluating those risks and regulating chemicals, but a 2015 law, the Lautenberg Chemical Safety for the 21st Century Act, imposes a new risk management approach on EPA for chemical safety regulation. Jeffrey Morris is the director of the Office of Pollution Prevention and Toxics at EPA. He talked with Tom Temin about that new approach.
Just give us the overview of how the EPA does go about testing chemicals. And when we say chemicals, do we mean something that's in your broom closet, or do we mean something that's in the back of a tank truck going across the highway, or all of the above?
Well, Tom, we do mean all of the above. We mean the thousands of chemicals that are used in commerce, whether they're used in manufacturing or consumer products or anything in between. We're talking about thousands of chemical substances. And now with last year's enactment of the Frank R. Lautenberg Chemical Safety for the 21st Century Act, the EPA for the first time has the obligation, the mandate, and the requirement to review all of those chemicals to determine whether or not they're safe. Now, this is a big change for us, because prior to last year's enactment of the Lautenberg Act, there was dissatisfaction broadly across interest groups with the adequacy of the Toxic Substances Control Act, or TSCA, the law that regulates chemicals in the United States, for its ability to regulate chemicals. Because prior to the Lautenberg Act, the EPA did not have the requirement to review those chemicals. We always had the authority, but there was no program in place to systematically prioritize those thousands of chemicals, identify those that are high priorities for review, and then review them for safety. Now we do.
And how do you review them for safety?
We look at the information that's available in the open literature, as well as information provided by the chemical companies who develop these materials. We take all the information available to us and look at their potential for hazards to humans in the environment, how people or wildlife might be exposed to them, and combine them into something we call a risk evaluation, which is a broad description of the chemical substances' uses and hazards and whether those uses present risks to humans in the environment. These are documents typically of several hundred pages backed by technical analyses done by EPA staff.
There are thousands and thousands of chemicals, some of which have been around for decades, and all you have to do is look, and there's hydrogen peroxide in everybody's closet and isopropyl alcohol. Are you caught up with all of the common chemicals and are only concerned with what's new on the market, or is there still a backlog of things that might have been around a long time?
Right. There are thousands of substances that have yet to be evaluated. The new law now requires us to go through those thousands and prioritize them so we can identify which ones may present risks and which ones we think do not, and then focus our attention on those that are may present risks and do an in-depth evaluation. So that's a big change in the law, and that's what the program going forward at EPA is going to do for the American public.
So it sounds like you really have to take what you might call a risk management approach, that is, in prioritizing and getting to the ones you think are the most dangerous first, and maybe, you know, rubbing alcohol not so fast.
That's exactly right. We would do just that. Look for those that are most likely to present risk to humans in the environment. Evaluate them. And then another important aspect of the new law is, should the EPA identify risks through its evaluation, it must, within 2 years, move to action to address those risks, to mitigate them.
I guess the question, well, one basic question, who does this work? Is it EPA staff, or do you have contractors, or how does it happen physically?
Yeah, it's both. There are about 330 people in my office, about 100 of which are involved in some respects in the evaluation directly of chemical substances. And they will do evaluations with contractor support, for sure. Now, we also welcome evaluations submitted by external parties, but we will take those evaluations and use them for our own review of the chemical. So in the end, this is an inherently governmental function that the EPA, that will be an EPA product.
But you're not tasting the chemicals or pouring them on mice and that kind of thing. You're really, the EPA work is evaluating literature that's already been done?
That's correct. However, if we identify a chemical substance that we think may present a problem, but it lacks some key pieces of data. The new law does give us the authority to require companies to generate new information to fill those gaps in the database.
So that would be lab work.
It would be lab work.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Morris. He's director of the Office of Pollution Prevention and Toxics at the EPA. And when you move to this new approach with risk-based management and prioritize the chemicals, it seems like you have to do at least a preliminary evaluation of all of them to be able to figure out which bucket of priority to put them in.
That's right. The new law requires us to go through the chemical space, which I said is thousands of chemicals, and identify those that we believe ought to be high priorities for evaluation. It also requires us to identify substances that are low priority so we can set them aside and focus on those that are likely to be problematic.
And then you do have a deadline then to get to the ruling and possible regulations on the high risk ones.
That's absolutely right. The statute requires us to complete an evaluation of a chemical substance within 3 years. And then upon completion of that evaluation, should we identify risks, 2 years to move forward to take action to address those risks.
And something else I'm curious about, industry develops new chemicals, but they also combine chemicals to create new products. And are both classes of substance covered by this?
They are, Tom. We regulate at EPA both new and existing chemicals. We receive at EPA about 1,000 pre-commercialization notices for new chemical substances. Now, companies end up commercializing about half of those. So about 500 new chemicals enter commerce every year.
Wow.
We evaluate those. And the new law actually gives us additional responsibilities for ensuring that those new chemical substances are safe. So that at the same time we're evaluating existing ones to identify which ones of those may be problematic, we're at the same time looking at new substances to determine whether they're safe. Now, sometimes those new substances are potential substitutes for existing ones. So the two parts of the program work together to ensure chemical safety.
So if I'm a manufacturer or a marketer and I come out with new and improved Windex, now with hexachlorophene. I'm obviously making all of this up. Would that, say, be subject to a look-see by the EPA?
It would indeed.
And what about petroleum types of new products, say some new engine stabilizer or something like that?
Those as well. Any chemical substance that fits within the purview of TSCA, which really is any chemical that's not a pesticide, a drug, a food additive, those chemicals fall in with the responsibility of my office.
So the new law, the Lautenberg Chemical Safety Act for the 21st century, does that make things more difficult for the EPA? Does it create more work or does it make things clearer for you?
Well, it does both, actually. It creates more work for us, for sure, but it's work that's important for the American public. And because it lays out these deadlines that we talked about, the 3 years for evaluation, the 2 years to take action, and it sets up a program for ensuring that we have a certain number of chemicals in evaluation at any given time, it sets out certainty for us as well as the regulated community and the public that the EPA is going to make purposeful progress forward in evaluating chemical safety.
Now, budget aside and staffing aside, and there's lots of questions ahead on that, supposing that you could hire the people that you need to get this done, what sort of talent do you require to be able to carry out these chemical evaluations? Do people have to be chemists or do they have to be good at reading literature? Or is that an also all of the above answer?
It's an all of the above answer. We have chemists. We have people who focus on toxicology, which is looking at the hazards of substance on test animals or test media. It's engineers who look at the processes involved in the manufacturing and the use of chemicals so we can see whether the manufacturing and use of those chemicals results in exposure to, say, workers. So engineers, chemists, toxicologists, people who are experts in chemical exposure, industrial hygienists to understand the work environment, all those skills are important for us. And we have folks like that on our team, and we continue to look for others.
So there are openings, at least in the EPA, with respect to carrying out this law.
Well, there, as we, people like myself, get toward the end of our careers and we move on to other things, we certainly will look to backfill those with new people with those types of skills.